Hello, and thanks for joining us for today's Big Sky Mental Health Podcast that will focus on being more than an athletics training room. I'm Denise Thompson from the Big Sky, and I'm joined by Aaron Grisonic, the Director of Student Athlete Wellness at Montana State. Our guests today include Idaho Director of Athletic Training Services, Chris Walsh, and Portland State Assistant Athletics Trainer, Lauren Block. Thanks for joining us for this special podcast, Chris and Lauren.
Thanks, Denise. Hey, Lauren, if a student athlete confides in an athletic trainer, why is it important to listen to the student athlete's story and to focus on them as a person?
That's a good question. I think it's really important to listen to the student athlete because it's going to be hard for them to come confide in someone. And so to really focus on them and let them know that we're here to listen and here to support them and to focus on them and not make it about us. We can relate to them as much as possible, but it's important to go back to the student athlete and just help them as much as possible. I think we have a really unique relationship with student athletes since we see them every day and we get to build those relationships with them that other staff members might not be able to. And so if they're coming to us, that means they trust us, they are looking for help, and it's our job to be there in any way that they need us. So yeah, I think overall it's important just to listen and just ask them what they need as well. If they just need a sounding board, then we're here to do that as well. Or if they're asking for help for the next step, then we're there to provide the next step as well.
Chris, when you think of a student athlete's health, some may be inclined to think primarily of the person's physical or medical condition and what effect the injury will have on their athletic performance. But a student athlete's mental health might be viewed as secondary to physical health. However, it's every bit as important. Why is that?
You know, mental health and physical health really are one and the same thing. And I think as athletic trainers, we see firsthand the importance of both of them. I think all of us, as we've spoken before, mental health is part of our pre-participation screening. When student athletes arrive, it's an annual screening we do as well that most institutions do, because we see the importance in that. And if somebody's not from a mental health standpoint, if they're having difficulties, it's going to affect their physical performance, their athletic performance. So, you could have somebody in the best of shape and in the best condition. If their mental health is not in the right place, they're not going to be able to perform. They may not even be able to make it out on the field. So the two really go hand in hand.
So Aaron, Chris just touched on it a little bit. And from your perspective, how would you suggest that student athletes balance that stress level of having to perform at such a high level, in addition to that rigorous academic expectations that are put upon them?
Yeah, thanks, Denise. I think student athletes, maybe more so than some other college or university students, are faced with having to balance and juggle a lot. They're having to travel to go compete, come back, and be ready to perform in the classroom. And some of the things I think are important for student athletes is to think about two things. What are the resources that exist in their environment? And within all athletics organizations, there are support structures there for them. There are support structures for their mental health. There are support structures for their academic well-being and also physical health. And I think first and foremost is know the resource, access the resource. If you don't know where or how to do that, then there are people that can help you along the way, your coaches and trainers being some of those most important people. The other thing I think about is for student athletes to reflect on is what has worked for them in the past. They've gotten this far. They've been successful this far. What has worked for them in the past? And for some, that might be writing things down on a daily basis, going through a checklist. For others, that might be something else. But using their own style and what has worked for them in the past is often very helpful. I think it's also important for a student athlete to be able to compartmentalize. And when they go into the academic setting, to be able to put things that have happened or that are going to happen to the side with regard to competition or practice, and also the other way around, to put academics on the side when they're ready to compete, so that they're not thinking about their results on an exam when they're in the middle of a competition. I think there are lots of mental health resources all across the Big Sky, and some of those mental health providers, if not all of them, can help with that kind of compartmentalizing process, if you will.
Last week on our podcast, when we were talking to Idaho State Athletics Director Pauline Theros and Montana Faculty Athletic Rep Charles Palmer, you kind of mentioned the volleyball philosophy of resetting. For those who were unable to listen to our podcast from last week, can you kind of just reiterate kind of what your theory was on that?
Yeah, so I talked a little bit about just how every point in volleyball is managed. And actually, this happens in every point or even milestones if you're a track athlete. But every time you have a pause or a time where you can reset, athletes are really good at stepping away, celebrating the good thing that just happened, or regrouping after something challenging that maybe didn't go their way happened. Regrouping and then resetting in a way that they can perform to their best. When we can't regroup and reset, that's when things like the past haunt us and our performance goes down. I think that that's just really important for athletes as they kind of go along in their daily routines, whether that's switching from athletics to academics, or family situations to athletics, whatever that switch is, being able to shut off what's already happened and focus on the present moment, the here and now. And that's where we can always perform our best if we're present-minded.
Speaking of things that are important, Lauren, for a student athlete, there are certain guidelines that are given to them when it comes to recovering from an injury. But can you elaborate a little bit on how the mental health part of it will also help their physical rehabilitation?
Yes, thanks, Denise. I think it's important for the athletes to understand the progression of the protocol. We have protocols for a reason, or like a progression in terms of the injury. Obviously, that goes based on like the physical healing of the injury, but also we don't want to push them too much. If we push the athlete too much, then we might have setbacks, and setbacks might hurt their mental health. Athletes are used to being successful. That's what they want. They have that drive and that work ethic of, you know, being the best and wanting to get back on the field as fast as possible, which is what we want too, but we don't want to push them too much or allow them to do too much that goes against the protocol, to where they'll injure themselves more or just set them back in the long run. So I think it's important as an athletic trainer to be honest with them and be like, okay, here's a realistic timeline for your injury. Yes, there are times that athletes come back sooner than we think. But for the most part, the protocols are pretty spot on. And so just being honest and letting them know, like, okay, here's the first step. This is kind of what you can do. And here's the next step. Once you've passed X, Y, and Z tests, or when this doesn't hurt anymore, we can progress to this. I think being honest with them so they know what to expect, and just being really transparent so they're not kept in the dark, because being injured and being away from their sport is hard enough already. But having them not understanding what the next few weeks or months will look like, I think could be really hard for them, especially if it's a season-ending injury where they're out for a longer period of time. So for the student athletes, I would just say, you know, follow the protocol, you know, use that drive and that work ethic, but we're going to do everything we can to get you back on the field and allow you to do as much as possible. So I think from an athletic trainer standpoint, it's just to keep in mind the mental health aspect of them being hurt and being transparent with the protocol.
Would you say, Lauren, that something that helps athletic trainers in your position is that you're not only seeing the student athletes when they're injured, right? You're seeing them throughout the week, and you're getting that fun atmosphere where you're able to joke around and laugh and ask them how things were, and building that rapport with them so that when it does time to have to change that conversation to, you know, I have your best interest at hand, this is what's going to happen. Do you think that that really helps for them to maybe set aside the anger that they might feel that they're injured and wanting to come back, and then just trusting you guys and that are in your role?
Yeah, I think that's a huge part of it. I think that we get to create those relationships every day with these athletes, and we get to know them on a personal level, not just as an athlete. And so building that trust allows them to be okay, like, to trust us and know that we're doing everything we can, and, you know, we'll help them get back on the field and, like, allow them to do what they can do, even if it's modified or just a little bit here and there. But yeah, I think those relationships are huge, because we really get to know the student athlete as a person. And I think them coming in for rehab might not be their favorite thing to do, but if you get to talk and joke around and ask about, you know, what's mom's cooking for dinner or whatever, when they're going to go home next, it kind of lightens the mood a little bit, makes rehab not so daunting, or just like a task to do. And we kind of just make it fun and somewhat enjoyable for them.
You know, Lauren was just talking about the relationships that that athletic trainers can build with student athletes. And from a kind of an organizational psychology perspective, we kind of look at how different relationships exist and how those dynamics play out. And Lauren, I think you touched really well on the unique relationship you have with the athletes you work with. They're more apt to tell trainers things that they aren't going to tell their coaches or their families or their teammates. And I think that's because they're placing their physical well-being in your hands in a lot of ways. And that can also lead to emotional vulnerability. Chris, why is mental training just as important as physical training? And how do you help prepare some of your staff to deal with some of that?
You know, I think, you know, going back kind of like I mentioned before, they go hand in hand. You know, mental health and physical health go hand in hand, just as mental training and physical training do as well. So, you know, I think the demands that are placed on collegiate athletes, because again, they're students first. They're going to school full time, plus they have the pressures of physical training. That's a lot. I mean, that's you know, college in itself minus sports is a very demanding, you know, consuming venture that a lot of people. I know when I was in school, I mean, it's a lot to take on to keep your grades up. And I think a lot of times people forget that and don't understand that, you know, college athletes, it's not technically a job, but they're working nonstop, school, athletics. So, again, I think it's important to know that, yeah, that physical training is important, but mental training and kind of like you had mentioned before, Aaron, what is that mental training? You know, whatever works within their style. I think some student athletes come here, they're used to, you know, obviously playing prep sports, and whether their downtime, you know, consists of recreational things or hanging out with friends or even, you know, talking to a counselor or, you know, a psychologist, you know, whatever works for them. And I think that's where us as athletic trainers kind of come in and say, hey, you know, yes, you're new on campus, you know, you're going to face some struggles and stresses that you may not be prepared for. And that's where we kind of come in and say, hey, these are some resources that we can help you with.
So Chris and Lauren, you both talked a little bit about how to build that relationship. It's about building the relationship with the students, knowing what they, in order to pick up on what they may be going through in their personal lives and how that transfers over to emotional and mental health as well as physical health. Lauren, I was wondering if you could elaborate a little bit and share with us why it might be important for you as an athletic trainer to gain awareness and recognize these signs and symptoms, and maybe even creating a plan to have a referral for treatment.
Yeah, going back to kind of the relationships, like you mentioned, that the student athletes might come to us before they go to their coaches or their academic advisor. And so we need to be able to, you know, be ready for those conversations if they come to us with more of a heavy conversation. And I think going back to the training and awareness of recognizing some signs and symptoms of depression or any other mental health illnesses, we, like I said, we see them every day. So we have a pretty good idea of their personality, especially if it's an athlete that comes in the athletic training room pretty often. And so if they're off, you know, everyone has off days, but they're off consistently, or there's something just doesn't seem right with them, we need to be able to recognize that and know how to deal with that and move forward. So I think understanding the basics of mental health signs and symptoms will help us a lot in our profession. It's good to have additional trainings, of course, but just being comfortable with having these conversations with the student athletes, if you're concerned, and just kind of talking to them and seeing what's going on. It might be nothing, but you never know. It might be something more serious. And I think in the more serious conversations, that's why we need a plan. You know, if someone is suicidal or having really, you know, depressive thoughts, or just really feeling bad, we need to be able to know what the next step is. So that might be walking them to your student health, or, you know, finding someone that they feel comfortable talking with, whether it's us or the coaches, or referring them to an actual mental health provider, and getting them some professional guidance. So I think having a plan and just knowing the signs and symptoms are really important for athletic trainers.
Chris, when it comes to mental health and how it can affect us all, you know, it's not just student athletes that it affects, it's the coaching staff who's putting in all the hours of work. It's support staff like yourself and academics and everyone else who is doing all of, you know, doing all these things that's preoccupying their time. You know, are there any mental exercises that you would recommend to student athletes or staff members just to help to decrease that extra stress that they may have upon them, especially during that heavy time of a season?
Yeah, Denise, I appreciate you kind of pointing out that it's, you know, this, it affects the staff as well. I mean, the staff, especially in those team situations, the staff is on the road just as much as the student athletes. And a lot of times, you know, the staff has other stresses in life, not quite school, but, you know, family and other things going on. And so we're all experiencing this together. And I don't, you know, from an actual mental health exercise standpoint, you know, that's probably more in Aaron's field to provide some different recommendations on that end. But I think one thing that I've always stressed to the student athletes and my staff and even personally is, you know, during that downtime, take some downtime, do something that you want to do. Okay. Kind of disconnect a bit from the grind of the sport, from, you know, your job duties and just take a break. I mean, I think all of us are so used to working so hard and irregular hours, and this is student athletes and staff, that you just need to disconnect sometimes. And that might not be disconnecting fully from sport, because I realize that, you know, some people they really enjoy that, and you don't want to completely take that away, but, you know, have it be on their time. You know, so just do an activity, take some time for yourself.
I agree. We all need to do a little things outside of it. This summer, I even started doing a puzzle. It was like a 500 piece puzzle that I think that may have stressed me out more than work. I just was like, why can't I find the other blue and why doesn't this match? And they all look the same. And I really do think that it probably drove me crazier, a lot worse than work would right now. But Aaron, right? So from your point of view, why is it important for schools to have a sports psychologist on site?
You know, Denise, I tried to do like a 50 piece puzzle with my kids yesterday, and that was a chore in itself. So I feel your pain there. In terms of schools having a sports psychologist on site, I think that it's an important thing to have, or somebody focused on mental health. I think that we all have our own specialties, whether that's athletic training, academics, or counseling and psychology, and having somebody dedicated to the staff or on the staff is important, because they can continue to bring up the questions about mental health and resources and how are we serving our students. That being said, you know, I think it's probably most important, probably more so than having a dedicated psychologist on staff. It's more important to have staff who feel equipped and able to deal with student crises as they come up. And I think that's everybody's job student athletes, jobs included, to notice when people might be struggling and to know about the resources to help get them support if they need it. But it does help if you have somebody who's a sports psychologist or a counselor on staff or somebody from your school's counseling department dedicated to working with the athletes and asking those questions, getting people trained to recognize signs and training them on how to have difficult conversations and intervene if needed. I think that is really important. And I have not encountered anybody in any athletics organization that doesn't care about the athletes. And it doesn't take a whole lot to empower them to care about the athletes in a mental health way. Let's switch gears a little bit. Lauren, what are ways to communicate with student athletes to let them know that just because they might not be participating or competing due to an injury, that they're still part of the team? I think that sometimes that distance from the team can cause students to feel like they're not part of the team. And what are your tips on that?
Yeah, I think that's a huge part of the injury rehab part of it, not just the exercises and getting them physically back, but keeping them engaged in the sport as well. I think one of the hardest parts for student athletes when they get injured is not being able to play their sport. So I think that takes a toll on them. I think talking to them about what will be best for them. I've had some athletes who want to be in the weight room and at practice, like being there and just watching and being present. And kind of taking mental reps, where I have other athletes that being in the weight room and just watching is too much for them. And so at that point, they come into the athletic training room and do rehab during that point. So I think just talking to them and seeing what is going to work best for them and what's going to make them the happiest and make them feel like more part of the team. I think also keeping in mind that just because they have an ankle sprain doesn't mean they can't be in the weight room doing upper body, and just kind of modifying things like that to keep them engaged as much as possible, and still making sure that they're available for team meetings and doing everything else that they can except the actual playing part due to their injury. So I think just talking to the athlete and maybe being creative and how they can still be part of the team if watching is too much for them.
You know, athletes love and hate the same very thing, working hard and working hard. They love to train and they love to practice, but they also find it painful at some points and dislike it also. And Chris, I was wondering if you had any tips for young athletes who are training or just starting out in that way on how to handle the pace of the training or working with the training room, especially maybe during crossover seasons?
Yeah, this is an interesting question. one that I think most professionals, in the athletic training world haven't fully figured out all the way, because there's so many time demands within this profession. And I think one benefit that we all go through, anybody that's gone through an athletic training program, is obviously there's quite a bit of internship hours that you need to put in before you even get in the profession. And you find out really quick that this is not your typical job. It's not your 9-to-5. So I think all of us getting in and starting out in the profession, and as we go along, we know that. but again, something that I really, really, I think personally I've experienced, just through my own struggles at times, and something that I really try to help out younger people in the profession, is it's okay to ask for help. And I think we're so professionally, we have a lot of responsibilities on our shoulders, and we feel like we have to take that all on. And, we're solely responsible for our sport, and, we get a little protective over that at times. And it's okay to go to your colleagues and say, hey, I'm burning out, I need some help. And your supervisors, you need to be able to go to them and talk to them. And I know I've had to do that at times in my career. And it's just it's a weight off my shoulders sometimes. Cause again, we get into this, we're the one athletic trainer assigned to a team, and we feel like, you know, we're the only ones that can do it. So it's okay to ask for help. And as always, you got to keep a good work-life balance. Okay. And those crossover seasons, those off seasons, that is one of the, that is just the highlight of my year. A lot of times, you know, when a season's done, just because of the stresses and you're finally done, and it's good to just unplug for a couple weeks. And it's amazing what a couple weeks will do just to recharge your batteries. So you got to do that. You can't work 12 months straight.
Well, as someone who spent a lot of time in the athletics training room when I was a student athlete, I thank you, Chris and Lauren, so much for joining us on our podcast today. Thank you, Aaron, for your amazing insight as always. And remember, listeners, you can visit bigskyconf.com and click on the Mental Health Resources tab under the About section to access more information. Follow us on Twitter at @BigSkyConf. And until next time, have a great day and thanks for listening.